truth and consequences close behind us. Take the Rockies by surprise. No coyotes won early mornings up. Wild horses in disguise. Won't you take me through the mountains towards the Oregon Trail? Say goodbye to Colorado. From my heart, I wish you well. We miss the magpies, so we took a long drive. Could not get far enough away. We trekked through the deep snow and turned up the radio and toasted outside Santa Fe. And won't you take me through the mountains towards the Oregon line? Say goodbye to Colorado. Fare thee well, good friend of mine. Up in Idaho, and it was 23 below. We walked out as far as we could stand. I saw you in your black coat as you photographed the hills rolling. Count to three, and then we ran.
So I understand that you're from Northwest Arkansas.
This is true.
This is true. And a lot of our listeners may not know that. Are you from Fayetteville or?
I grew up in Hickory Creek, which is about half an hour from Fayetteville. And I went to Springdale High School. That was the closest one that would have me. So, but my folks are out there on the lake, so that's where I grew up.
Okay. Now, did you start with music at Springdale High School, or is your family musical?
My old man is very musical. He got a full scholarship for sight reading for band to go to college, and I didn't get the sight reading gene. I got the Arkansas State lowest score ever for sight reading at the championships or whatever, then competition when I was in the high school band, and then I quit it because I wasn't very good at the sight reading part or at the reading part of music at all. And but I started playing guitar, I don't know, when I was 14 or so, and trying to play old bluegrass stuff with my dad on the front porch, and you know, finger picking songs that I had records of and things like that. But I didn't ever sing really as a lead, you know. I did some backup stuff in a band and played guitar, but I didn't really sing for myself until I'd written a song, which wasn't until I was 21. So I was kind of a late bloomer, but I made up for it, so.
Well, what inspired you to keep going with music? Like you said, you didn't do so well with the sight reading.
Right.
So why not just stop there and try sports or something else?
Well, I did. I did do sports and for a long time. And then the coach didn't like it because I grew my hair out when I started playing guitar. And it was the hair or sports. And so I thought I was making a statement at the time. But it would have been nice to be in shape a little further. but anyway, no. So I... you know, I played guitar. I could always pick up things from hearing them and play things like that on guitar. So I just I always did that. It was the structure of it. Anything that involved someone telling me what to do, I was never very good at. So when it was up to me just by myself, I had a great time. And then, but I hadn't really thought about writing a song, and I moved to California to work at this arts academy over a summer when I was just turned 21. And anyway, and they had a bunch of pianos out in this woods outside where everyone would practice and stuff. And so I would sit in there with the guitar, and I'd hit one note on the guitar and then find it on the piano and just kind of learn some block chords. And one day I just wrote a song accidentally. And then, but after that I wrote 10 more that week, and then I recorded it the next week, and that was my first record. And that's why my first records aren't that great, because I just started. But anyway, that's my excuse anyway. So I was really a late bloomer. I didn't start writing songs till I had left Arkansas.
So what was your first song?
It was called Isn't Love.
Nice.
I hope this isn't love. That was what it was called. I don't have anything else to add to that.
Okay. Well, like you said, you've made up for it, and you've produced quite a bit of music and have a number of albums. And what I love on your website is the little line that says, Joe is an independent musician. His records are self-released, and he likes it that way. Mm-hmm. Why do you like it that way?
Because I can look in the mirror every day, I guess. You know, I've been through the... you know, offers of major labels and things like that, but they always come with a catch. They always do. And for a guy like me who doesn't do well getting told what to do, I don't want to be told what my music should sound like, and I don't want to be told that songs that were on my previous records need to be re-recorded with a producer, things like that, make them radio friendly. I seriously doubt I'm ever going to have a tune on pop radio, and that's all right, because my favorite songwriters, if they came up today, they probably wouldn't play them on pop radio. They just did then because it was a different time. But anyway, so I like beating to my own drum, I guess, you know, and just not being told what to do. And when you don't give all your money away and sign your rights away to your music to a company, when you sell a record, the money comes to you. So it really works like a business, and I've always been able to justify that better, because it's like making an honest living. It's like you make a piece of art, and then you sell it, and then you get the money for it, and then you put that back into the business, and you make another one, and you make another one. And it's always done out of art's sake anyway, and so that's enough for me, I guess.
I find it interesting because so many musicians I talk to, I mean, the goal is to get a record deal with a major label. So for you to just kind of be like, no, I'll just do it myself.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it partly has to do with around the time I quit playing sports, I have such a competitive streak in me that I don't like to admit. But at some point I figured out my life was going to be a lot happier if I didn't indulge in that competitive streak, because I could be real unhappy and a sore loser. So I just do things in a realm that nobody else is doing them, the way I see it anyway. And then that way, I'm never competing with anybody else, because I don't think that's what music's about. It's not about trying to engineer something to make it what you think other people want. You do what's in your heart or in your soul, as cheesy as that sounds, and you do it for you, and you do it for art's sake, just to make it, just to get it out. And then, you know, you hope people like it, but you don't. But that's not, if that's your first thought, then it's going to be really hard to make good music, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you're essentially a one-man band, so has it been difficult, you know, to not only write the songs and play the songs, but record them and then distribute them?
Yeah, it's not easy. I'm not saying that it's been easy, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of jobs that are harder. Most jobs are harder. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I love doing what I do makes it worth it. And it, none of it's really hard if I look at it that way. It's just sometimes it's a struggle, and when it's out of your own pocket and you want to get some CDs made up or in records made up, or you want to make a record and you want to do it larger than ones you've done before, or you want to use a band, or you want to go to a different place or a different recording studio or something like that. But that's why I've ended up doing a lot of recordings on my own and building my studio over the years, to where I've got all the equipment I need and I can bring guys in if I want to and record anything I want to and have it sound as good as I want to. And then I kind of just become a hermit sometimes and wanted to learn how to play drums. And so I listened to a lot of old band records and Levon Helm and just played along for hours and hours with a drum kit and then started playing drums on my records, and you know, upright bass and you know, from mandolin or lap steel or whatever. But anyway, it's a long way of answering, but yeah, it's tough sometimes, but it's really worth it to me. And I can't say it'd be worth it to everyone else or many other people, but it works for me, so that's all I need.
And you said that you don't ever expect your music to be heard like on a pop station or anything like that, but your music's actually been used in television shows and on commercials. Like the one I'm familiar with is the Dove commercial, or the Dawn commercial, the Dawn soap, when they're washing the oil off of the little duck. Now, I'm sure people are familiar with your music that way, but is it sort of strange as an artist to have them connect it to that product instead of say, oh, that's a Joe Purdy song? They're like, oh, it's the song from the Dawn commercial.
Right. Well, I guess I haven't really had that problem. Most people have just, you know, they'll say, I had a song that was on a Kia commercial for a Kia car as well. And so I get a lot of, hey, I heard you on that Hyundai commercial first, and I like that song, or I heard you on the, you know, they'll say, you know, on this dishwashing soap, or they'll say, I can't remember what the one that they always confuse Dawn with, but there was another soap, and so they never quite remember the product exactly, but they remember it was on some kind of commercial or a show or whatever. But you know, it's a lucky way of doing things. It's for a guy like me especially, because I can't often ask for that kind of exposure and wouldn't whore myself out for that kind of exposure. So it's nice when it's given to me or asked of me. And so those kind of things, they, with that big of an audience, it's just as good as pop radio for me. And that's the way I get around. That's my loophole to still get more fans and get more of an audience is through television. And it's the age of the internet, and so once anybody catches on, if there's any word of mouth at all, you have a really good chance of spreading like wildfire. And so, and you get one placement that's really good like that, because a producer is a fan or something and wants to use a song, and then all of a sudden, you know, your sales go up and you can pay to make more records that way. So.
Excellent. And it seems like for a guy like you, that's just as good, because if a producer goes and uses that song because he likes your music, I mean, it's not, like you said, you're not advertising yourself to them saying, hey, use my music. Somebody
exactly.
Maybe because they like the sound of it.
Right. Yeah. So it works out better for my conscience that way. And like I said, being competitive, it's hard. The idea of trying to engineer something for somebody. And sometimes when people want a certain thing, if they ask me to write a song for something, if I like it, I love doing that. But at the same time, spending all your time trying to do things in order to make money, it's no way to live, because you miss out on a lot, I think.
And you've just recorded another album, your 12th album?
12th, yeah.
12th, called This American.
Yes, ma'am.
And what can you tell me about that?
Well, I had made a record called 4th of July, and I had taken the time, like I said, to learn a few instruments that I hadn't played before. It's really the first full band record that I've made where I played everything. I'd done a lot of records where I'd tinker with different things and add a few things, but this was like drums and bass, and not on all the songs, but a full band sound on a lot of the songs and arrangements. But I wanted just to have it be my first instincts, what I always wanted when you record songs with a band in the past. they're always great, but it's always, you just let it be. If you're going to be happy, you just have to let them play what comes naturally, be happy with the direction it takes, and just let it go. Because there's no use trying to have someone play what you think you want them to play or whatever. So anyway, point is, I made that, but it took me a long time, and it took me a long time to, I was really trying to figure out how to record things really well, build my studio, mic things right, and not just have like that sounded like it was done in a hotel room, which I love that, but right. I was just trying to do really, you know, good sound, good quality, and play some instruments. But so that's also the long way of saying that I had a lot of songs left over, and I just, it was a, you know, a few months after that, and I realized the year was coming, and I just took enough, I just took two microphones and one guitar, and I went to New Mexico and rented this house in New Mexico for a week, and I just did a take of everything just once, and ended up writing some while I was there too, and so anyway, just came up with like 15 songs in, you know, a 3-day period or whatever, and got back to the way I did it when I started, which was just a microphone and a guitar, because I was so tired. I'd never taken that long to make a record before, and so it felt good just to go back to the old way. And it's like, you know what, if the song's good enough, people are nice enough to look through my arrangements if they like the song. So that's what I did.
Do you have any song that you're particularly proud of off the album?
I'm proud of all the songs off of that record. I'm really happy with those because I hadn't done that in a while, something where I'd really just sang with a guitar, just live, and really not added anything else, but just songwriter songs. And I've been listening to a lot of Townes Van Zandt recently, who's my hero, and after I'd gone on this tour, a leg of this tour, Steve Earle's tour, and he was doing Townes songs, which Townes was his mentor and best friend, and so I really got back into Townes Van Zandt and kind of obsessed with it, and he's kind of like an alien to songwriters. It's just like what Hendrix was to the guitar. He's kind of like that. You just don't know why he existed or how he was able to do what he did, but it was wonderful. And anyway, so I just got back to basics of telling stories, telling the way I feel, and kind of disguising them in an older setting, like a Great Depression setting. So I played a song today called Oregon Trail, and I really, that may be my favorite off of there, because you know, just involves some personal things and a loss that we'd had, and we went to get away. It's just about going for a road trip and driving and forgetting about things and finding better times. So it was nice to get that out.
And you're getting ready to go on a 3-month tour?
Yes, I am. Tomorrow-ish.
Tomorrow-ish.
Yep.
And will that take you all across the country?
It will, you bet. Yeah, we'll do start on the West Coast and work our way. Well, I guess we'll start in Austin and make our way to the West Coast and do a loop and up through Canada a little bit and back down through Denver and end up in St. Louis. And then we go next over to Nashville and then work our way up the East Coast and then back down. And I did get invited to do, on the 9th of July, a ramble at Levon Helm's place in Woodstock. And I learned drums from listening to him, but he's also, you know, one of my biggest heroes, and being from this area himself, but he was just the greatest and is the greatest, and so it's going to be an honor to be able to just to meet him and see him play, but much less getting to play with him and do a show up there in one of their rambles that they do up in his barn. It's going to be, it's like highlight of my life. So it's
definitely something to look forward to this summer.
You bet.
Well, thank you so much for stopping
Thanks
by.
Thanks for having
and
me.
And the
Appreciate
best of luck
it.
On your tour.
Thanks.
Joe Purdy stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio earlier this month. During his visit, he also played this song called Diamond State.
I caught religion in the old north wind, and all colors came and all colors went. And I swore to get right with my family and friends, Give my bottle to the preacher, start over again singing. Take me back to those summer days, 'cause this winter's making my old bones ache. Now return when the weather's changed, I'll see you in the Diamond State again. Well, at no fury like a woman scorned, she took all the whiskey and all the corn. She set fire to my house and took off in a storm. Even after she's gone, she's still keeping me warm, singing. Take me back to those summer days, 'cause this winter's making my old bones ache. And I'll return when the weather's changed, I'll see you in the Diamond State again. Well, the roof caved in and the house came down, and there's a hole in my tent, one in the ground. Yeah, and the places I've been ain't the place I am now. So watch where you're stepping, and I will see you around singing. Take me back to those summer days, 'cause this winter's making my old bones shake. I'll return when the weather's changed, I'll see you in a Diamond State, my friends. Well, I'm going to California, gonna pan for gold, 'cause a diamond in the rough ain't a diamond in the snow. And I'm gonna empty all my pockets, admit that I'm old, take my coat to the corner and hope it gets sold. Sing, take me back to those summer days, 'cause this winter's making my old bones shake. I'll return when the weather's changed, I will see you in the Diamond State. Don't take me back those summer days, 'cause this winter's making my old bones ache. And I'll return when the weather's changed, I will see you in the Diamond State. I will see you in the Diamond State. I will see you in the Diamond State.